Public Works, Parks, Labor, and Transportation Committee to order. We'll convene this morning at 10:00 for the purpose of meeting jointly with the Budget and Appropriations Committee to discuss two items that are on both Parks' agenda and the agenda of Budget.
Mr. Chairman, I also call to order the Budget and Appropriations Committee with a proper quorum present, Mr. Chairman. So I have been handed a priority list. All right. I'm going to go on video conference.
Is the...
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
We have, I know that we're going to have Commissioner Lauro in by video conference. Those aren't on these items, though, involving the Bird Homestead. Are they?
No.
Right, okay. All right. In the meantime, we have before us, taken up by both committees, a bond act authorizing the issuance of $215,000 of bonds to finance capital project BLA-01. Made reference to as the Bird Homestead City of Rye. In addition, there's an act authorized the County of Westchester to enter into an agreement with the City of Rye to acquire from the city for $200,000 a conservation easement across .93 acres of waterfront property located at 600 Milton Road in the City of Rye and known as the Bird Homestead. Plus closing costs of $15,000. Who was here to speak on this item this morning?
Which one you doing?
Bird Homestead.
No, because they, I think we told them one time to get here, so they don't come until we done.
So, I know that this item was through the Capital Project Subcommittee, Mr. Chairman. If I may, I can probably give you a little information on it. It is not, Bird, I think, is the name of the owners of the property as opposed to a bird. And this legislation, based on the explanation that was given to us, enables the county to hire, to acquire an easement that provide access to the waterfront property from the county's property, from the county. And that easement was explained to us as important in order to the county, for the county to continue to either do work in the environmental area surrounding the water and also to be able to have other work that the county does do on a normal basis. And so the easement is simply enables them to cross the land and to, for that purpose, for the governmental purpose. It was explained to us, it's a very, very simple piece of legislation. It did not require any building or any constructing or anything like that.
And it's not for the birds, right?
It's not for the birds.
Wait, just like that.
Let me just ask a question, Mr. Williams. This is a conservation easement across .93 acres of waterfront property. Is this an easement that covers the entire 9.3 acres, or is that the size of the waterfront property, and this is an easement, a path, a roadway?
Right. It's an easement of .93 acres. That's what it covers.
So the entire easement is the
9.93 acres, right.
The waterfront property. Okay, right. Mr. Jenkins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On this particular question, We have these three items in front of us. We passed the bond. In 2009, on December 7th, we passed the bond act that was necessary for this. I'm not sure what the difference is. The question is, if it's just an IMA difference, then the two bond acts or the bond act that's in front of us.
Two items, right?
Yeah, there's two items. I'm looking for the IMA.
3437?
Oh, is that the IMA?
Right.
Okay, so the IMA, my understanding was there was some technical change that needed to be done in the IMA. I'm not sure why that would affect the bond act that we already authorized.
We
authorized the bond act in December 7th, 2009. Well, you know something, it might have just came in and we might not have.
Right.
That would be good. Okay. So in the IMA, I'm not sure, there was a tech, we passed this IMA in 2007. There was some change, some technical change. I'm not sure what it is. So when we get those guys in, maybe someone could tell us exactly what the change is.
Okay. All right. And who will we have from the administration, Sal?
Planning. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, then
you could do it by his name.
Let me do this. I'd ask for a motion to table these items.
Second.
Second.
Okay.
Bird.
Is there any objection to tabling these items?
Till when?
Tabling is for one meeting alone.
In the meeting.
These items have to come back before us before the conclusion of this meeting.
Sorry, I was late. Can you just repeat what the decision was?
We are going through the agenda. We have started the discussion on the bond act related to the Bird Homestead and the IMA. And we've hit a point now where we cannot go further in consideration of these items until representatives of the planning department arrive to answer our questions. Is that correct? Is that the sense of this of the committees?
Yeah. So we had asked planning for the rationale. I believe it was Public Works that had actually stopped the work on this.
Planning presented to the Capital Projects Subcommittee on this. It was the planning department that presented.
Okay. So my only point in the procedure right now, the committees apparently are not prepared to vote at 10:15. They're awaiting department heads to arrive here. So to go on with the business, we have to procedurally park these two items. You do that by tabling. Once again, I have a motion to table on the floor by Mrs. Spreckman. Is there a second?
Second, Mr. Lucas.
Second. All in favor of tabling these items?
All right. Again, are we tabling it for the end of this meeting today or the 4 o'clock meeting? Because we're meeting.
No.
Only this meeting.
A very good point, though. It's a tabling for this meeting. Before we conclude this meeting, we have to bring it back on the floor. Okay, so the items are tabled. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to turn this over to you. That concludes the...
Yes.
At least at this point, the items that we have before us jointly.
Yeah, because we only have the Bird Homestead as joint meeting, right, Mr. Chairman?
That's right.
All right, so we'll come back to that. And on conferencing, do we have audio now?
Should be on, isn't it?
Can you hear us, Tom?
We can't hear them.
Good morning.
If you can hear us, ask them to put up one thumb.
It would be not
wiggle your ears.
Tom, you can see us, but can you hear us?
If you can't hear, he can hear us.
Well, we can't hear him.
He's never sounded better.
No.
Oh, we got a smile.
He's going to turn the on switch on. Yeah. All right,
now look at that
nice view they have. That looks like New Rochelle.
Is that the Hudson?
No, it's New Rochelle.
Sound.
It's incredibly beautiful. Really, for very beautiful and sharp.
We tested it the other day. It worked beautiful.
All right. So we have some volume.
I think he's adjusting.
What about?
All right.
That's what it looked like over Giant Stadium yesterday for those who weren't watching.
That's right. It looked like the front of Mount Warner's forehead.
That's right.
We only have the animal shelter.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm trying to hear you. We don't hear you, so speak. Maybe at some point we'll catch you.
Can he hear us?
He can hear us. They laughed at the
joke. They laughed.
They laughed at the joke and everything. The pressure's on, Tom. We're watching the sweat come up. We could see you in HD.
Tom, do you have a whiteboard?
What is it that we need to do with the...
I don't think he has a whiteboard.
I don't even.
He's talking, but we
can't hear you, Tom.
So, why don't you close
again, the item that we'll be looking at, right. The item number 4 on the budget agenda is an IMA titled to property for animal shelter in Yonkers. An act authorizing the county of Westchester to enter the intermunicipal agreement with the city of Yonkers, whereby the county will convey to the city title to property comprising approximately 1.62 acres. And located adjacent to county's material recovery facility in the city of Yonkers.
So moved.
Question?
Yes.
Yes, what kind of an animal shelter is this? Do we know?
State of the art. It's, you know.
Hey, we're doing it for you.
Is it a kill or no kill facility?
Right.
It is a no kill facility.
Are we sure?
Yes, we are.
I'm not positive of that.
Really?
I mean, are you positive?
Could we get somebody to get back to us on that? I'm not sure I would like to see the county entering into an agreement with a kill facility.
This IMA, we sent a home rule message for this particular facility to move from its current location on
Fullerton
to move...
by where Stu Leonard's across the street.
No, I understand where the location is. I'm questioning the kind of animal shelter.
I'm not positive. I know their emphasis is on no kill, but...
Is there anyone we could get the answer from?
I think it's a fair question.
The throughway at this point in time, they need this IMA to execute something. Right, so we're here
for the animals.
No. The IMA is not necessary for the shelter to be moved forward. I think this is for some sewer piping that's at the end of the facility. So,
I'd still like to know, just for the record, I would like to know what kind of an animal shelter it is.
And Judy, I agree with you. We need to, because if there is a process, I mean, I understand that there comes a point where animals aren't being adopted and something happens beyond that. I am not familiar with that in this particular item, and hopefully Tom can.
Well, the current facility is outdated. The animals are suffering in that. We've already approved all of the preconditions in order to build this animal shelter. All the approvals have passed. We're in the process of collecting money. When I say we, the city of Yonkers, through charitable. I mean, I would hate to hold it up just to find out whether this is a no-kill or no-kill. The animals are the ones that are benefiting by this.
Well, not if they're killed.
They're certainly not in Fullerton right now.
They were on Fullerton, they were overcrowded. They tied them.
Oh, I'm not questioning that.
Freezing cold.
I would just like to know before casting my vote whether it's a kill or no kill shelter.
I hadn't never even heard the term kill or not kill. So,
there's some.
It's quite a well used term in.
Particularly in the South, unfortunately.
Particularly in the South.
Yeah. Well, I'm allergic to any kind of animal hair.
I think so.
Is there some way staff can call the animal shelter and ask the director?
I think the chair is working on it right now.
Well, can't we? What if we call
Tom? See, why don't we call Tom? Just get him on. Speakerphone or something.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So we can watch him talk to us.
Let's do it like charades. Sound like.
No, you know what?
He can hear it.
He can
hear that one. Tom, if it's kill, would you just touch your nose? If it's no kill, would you pull your ears, please?
He doesn't know. Somebody call the shelter.
All right, we're done.
Tom,
it's for you.
Can you pick up the phone?
That's
for you, Tom.
And for the audience, this is fairly new equipment that we're starting to use, so please bear with us. This is for the purpose of expediting travel.
See, Tom, he plugged in his iTunes.
Tom, pick up the phone so they can ask him questions.
Okay.
So you can hear us?
Is our phone on here?
No, because we can't hear him.
Can he dial until it will come, the video? Can he dial in?
Yeah. He's on the...
Tom, hold on a sec.
Hello?
Hey, we hear him live.
Hi, now we hear you.
He's hanging up.
Okay, yeah.
Hands free, yeah.
Uh-oh, feedback.
Isn't that, put that close to us?
Put that on him.
That's it, that's the place.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, pick it up. Just time to go.
I'm trying to walk
so much
to
get
to you.
He could.
You need to go.
Yeah, you can
leave it there.
That's
Tom, hang up because she's going to try you on your
phone. Good point. Pick up the
phone.
Yeah, leave him a message.
Wow, this is great, though, Tom.
Right.
What?
It's better than standing here for a half hour, an hour, and wasting time. Yeah. We all have meetings and places to go.
Steve.
Why couldn't that work? That we would
do. No. There's Steve.
We can't hear that.
Joe speaking. Joe's calling in.
Again, people, once we get the this system functioning in order, we'll be saving time and travel.
It'd be nice to put the switch on.
Yeah, it wasn't there.
From
it's
our
our
end.
Issue. Okay.
Can you hear us now?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's our end.
All right. Tom.
Some way to switch it.
The question before the committee, and Judy, you want to mention the question. And
yeah, I think he already indicated that he did not know the answer, whether this is a kill or no-kill facility. So I think I would prefer, personally, to find that out before furthering this.
Well, the question is this. First, is let's hear what the IMA is about. And
all right, can you give us a synopsis of the IMA? We understand that all of this has moved forward. A lot of the approvals have been moved forward. The city has been raising private funding and other funding to make this a reality. We did a site visit, at least I did, of the current shelter. And I don't know what's in there, because I was there a couple of years ago, and it was pitiful. So this is something that must happen on behalf of the animals regardless. So, Tom, give us a synopsis of where we are and where we're going with it.
Well, we've reached an agreement with the city of Yonkers to give them a little over 1.6 acres, which would be at the southern end of the Murph property, right next to the entrance to Ridge Hill. The county has a turnaround for its trucks for the Murph in that area. The city will be, at their expense, redoing the turnaround, so we still have all the functional use of the roadway, and also some drainage improvements because there is a little ponding or flooding in the area there. So the city is going to take care of those issues. The animal shelter will be separate and distinct from the Murph property. There will be a fence that the city will be putting around the animal shelter so that people won't be walking into the Murph and you know, we don't want anyone getting hurt, certainly, because there are large tractor trailers running through there.
All right. I have to go back to the term kill or no kill. I had never heard it before, and we have a Mrs. Myers concern on this issue. And I have Mr. Jenkins raising his hand, so we'll... Yes, Mr. Jenkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just spoke to the mayor of the city of Yonkers.
Okay.
And the facility is a kill facility as it is right now, where if they get overcrowded, etc., that you know, in every facility that is the case. It's not.
Not true.
Well, in the municipal facilities, that is the case, from according to the mayor. The mayor said this particular location would be doubling the size of the facility, giving the animals a much better opportunity to be adopted. You know, before anything had to be, you know, it's a much more humane facility by moving to this place. So while we certainly understand, you know, the feelings of not wanting to support a facility that, you know, that would have to euthanize pets at the end, this facility, thank you, euthanize the pet at the end, the reality is that this facility is, the facility that as currently exists is inhumane to the animals, which is why they needed to move to the larger facility, and it will have double the size and a better opportunity for pets to be adopted.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, so there is the answer. Any more questions to the commissioner on this? Mr. Bowers, you had...
I'm fine with it. Ken and I have been proposing this. I know Bernice, all of the Yonkers legislators for a long time. The facility is really in a bad, bad condition, and I've seen it probably before, after you have, but within the last year, and this new facility is going to be tremendous. It really is going to be nice for the animals.
All right. Bernice, as representative of around the area, do you have a motion for budget and appropriation? This item is only on budget and appropriation.
Okay. So moved.
Moved on behalf of Yonkers, I can second that motion.
Second.
All right. Second by Mr. Jenkins. Any other comments or questions? Yes.
Just a comment. For the reasons Legislator Myers stated, I'll vote yes without prejudice.
Okay. Without prejudice. Any other comments or questions? Otherwise, a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. All right.
Opposed?
Yes, without prejudice.
Okay, and two without prejudice.
No, three. Oh,
I'm Mr. Laura. Any other business to come before the committee from your department? This was it? Just the shelter?
For now, yes. That was it for today.
While the commissioner's on, I don't know if he had anything to do with the... with the bird homestead that
that we have two items jointly tabled with public works.
No, it was in
any
planning
knowledge
and
of
public
this,
works.
This item from you at all?
It never went to
public works.
It's planned. All right. Mr. Laura, thanks so much. And as you can see, the item has moved forward to the legislature floor.
And next time we'll make sure the switch is on here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Bye now.
All right. We have... how are we doing with timing, Sally? I'm trying
the
to...
The planning is here.
Okay, planning is here. Move to from the table the two items on
the table. From the table for Mr. Alvarado. Is a second?
Second.
Second. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Those items then are back before us, the Bond Act, as well as the IMA. Who here for planning will be talking about this?
Coming right in now.
Good morning.
Oh,
good morning.
Okay. Pat Nettarelli here, and Ann Stillman, chairperson of the Committee to Save the Bird Homestead.
Good morning.
We were hoping that the city manager from the city of Rye would be here today, but this maybe has gotten delayed. But yes.
Sit, relax.
What you have before you is a bond act which would authorize the county to enter into an agreement with the city of Rye to acquire a conservation easement on an approximately 1 acre piece of property known as the Bird Homestead, which is located in red on this map, in the city of Rye. It's located on Blind Brook and Milton Harbor, right next door to the property. Is the Friends Meeting House, which is an historic property. Also, it's on the National Register of Historic Places. And the city marina is right south of the Friends property. The city had approached us, actually, and the Bird Homestead Committee had approached us about 2 years ago. They were putting together a coalition of funding sources to acquire the property. And there is state money, federal money, local money, and even private donations all involved in the acquisition of the property. The Committee to Save the Bird property was under pressure at that point to purchase the property and close on it. And so the county
mayor
was.
Is here. We have the mayor of the city of Rye as well.
Hi, Rich.
How are you?
Oh,
hey.
Mayor, please take a seat at the table.
Thank you.
Please join.
Good morning. But as I was saying, the committee was under pressure then to close on the property through the estate of the birds. And at that point, the county did not have its funding in place. So, but there was a commitment from the prior administration that they would support the acquisition of this property. the birds, if Ann wants to talk a little bit about the birds themselves, they're well known family in paleontology, entomology, and archaeology. Did a lot of work for the American Museum of Natural History, and are world renowned for the work that they've done. Also, one of the bird family was also quite involved with the Rye Free Library for a number of years in running the library. The property itself, on the property itself, is a house that was built in the 1800s. It's a Greek Revival building, and it does have historic significance in its type of architecture. The property does have frontage on Blind Brook. This is a view from the property out onto Blind Brook. Right across the way from the property is property also already owned, a conservation property owned by the City of Rye, the wetlands area. And just south here is the county's Marshlands Conservancy piece also. So we think that it is a worthwhile project for the county to be involved with. It does preserve historic property. There will be access, canoe and kayak access onto the property. It'll be part of what's known as the Blue Trail, which is a trailway along the Long Island Sound, which connects important waterfront properties, and that is something that the county has always supported. And at this point, I'll open it up to any questions there.
Yeah, you mentioned, and people thought that this was for the birds, and the bird is actually the last name. And you want to speak right.
That's correct. There were three major scientists. Actually, this property has national significance in the category of science. And it is also significant for its architecture. But there was an entomologist who was the patriarch of the family, Henry Bird, who discovered one genus and 14 species of moths. He was an expert in moths in his field. He's quite renowned. But he was part of a 19th century tradition of scientists in this country who were not formally trained and were not academics, but who made very true contributions to the field by their own study. And then his two sons, Roland Bird was a paleontologist and Junius Bird was an archaeologist. Junius was curator of South American archaeology at the Museum of Natural History for almost 50 years. And he made very significant discoveries in Chile, which is, of course, in the news, and also in Peru. And he discovered the oldest textile art known at the time in the Americas, which he discovered under a microscope. He could determine the patterns on fragments of cloth, you know, which is really quite an extraordinary scientific feat.
And he served as the prototype, we think.
That's true. He is considered at least a prototype for Indiana Jones. And if you saw a photograph of him from 1946 when he's in Peru, he's just Harrison Ford is a dead ringer for him. You know, I mean, it's just incredible. And he has the hat, the whole look.
Yep.
So at the very least, whoever designed the sort of aura and look of that character had definitely seen this photograph. And he, his brother, Roland Bird, was a paleontologist who made very significant discoveries of dinosaur remains and tracks. And in Texas, he excavated and recorded the largest sauropod tracks on record. They were excavated by part of the WPA, Work Projects Administration, back in the 1930s. So it's tied also to the social history of our country. And they're on view at the Museum of Natural History, as are many, many of the artifacts that Junius Bird uncovered in the, they're on view in the South American Hall. And there's a very lovely tribute to him at the entrance to that hall. So these are people who were not well off, but they developed their powers of observation really living on this property, growing up on this property, and in the natural world, and they became very prominent figures in their fields.
And the committee had the property placed on the National Register of Historic Places, so,
yes.
So it already is on the register.
And Mr. Mayor, welcome, and thank you for taking the time, sure, if you have anything to add.
Well, this is one of those projects that transcends administrations at the county level, also at the local level. A lot of the work was done by former Mayor Steve Otis. And I'm really here just to say that my new administration is very supportive of this project.
of, you know, maintaining the environment, preserving our history. All of these things that this property brings to rise is something we're very consistent in and like to see. And I'd like to commend the work of Judy Myers as well, helping bring this forward. So we have your full support on this.
Thank you so much. Any other questions or concerns on the first concept? Otherwise, a motion is in order, I guess, for budget and appropriations.
So moved.
Second.
A motion for Public Works Parks.
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion?
For both items, Mr. Chairman, if we may, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much.
Could have saved on the meter.
All right.
We have no further. We have no further business to take up with the Budget Appropriations Committee. So I ask for a motion to adjourn for Public Works.
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. This meeting is adjourned.
No.
And I remind you that Public Works will be meeting today at 4 o'clock.
Thanks so much, Mr. Mayor. Okay, on the order of priority for the budget and appropriations agenda, thank you, Mr. Bloor. We have items 3 and 5, 3454 and 3497, J. Doe and Berkeley Plant, and Lori Lesio is here. Settlement, Dale versus Children Village, item 3454. Is Alicia welcome?
It's too high. I, a little trip on a Monday morning. this is a case where the county's being defended and indemnified by Children's Village, so there is no money coming from the county with regard to this case. The case is settled for $350. It has to be $350,000. I apologize.
Okay.
I wouldn't be here if it was $350. It has to do with a minor who was assaulted at Children's Village, but the county has no liability with regard to assault that occurs at Wolf Cottage and Children's Village. That is Children's Village liability alone. Our only issue would be if it was negligent placement. But because of the manner in which the settlement agreement was drafted,
it should be two things.
It says all defendants shall pay $350,000. So because of the inartful language or the confusion, we wanted to present it to the board for the authorization to sign off on the agreement.
There's another one.
And I it would be my understanding that the subcommittee on
yes,
on litigation
I had, yes, I spoke to Mr. Nono last week, and he had referred it out to budget and appropriations.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Moved by Mr. Jenkins, second by Mr. Burton. Any other concerns or comments on this item? As explained by Ms. Olesen. Otherwise, motion and a second, then all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thanks so much. So, moving right along to item number 5, 3497, Act Increasing Not to Exceed Amount, Berkeley Plant.
Bleakley Platt, yes. This is a request from the board to increase the not to exceed amount for the law firm of Bleakley Platt in connection with the Jeffrey Deskovic case. Jeffrey Deskovic is being represented by the Innocence Project, and the lawsuit was filed a few years ago. He was wrongfully convicted of the rape and murder of a Peekskill teenager. Because of a conflict, the board approved that we retain conflict counsel to represent Dr. Rowe, who at the time was a deputy medical examiner for Westchester County. They have spent $150,000 of the contract. They have not exceeded the amount, but because it's coming to the end of the year, we thought it was better to ask for an increase in the not to exceed amount. The case is still in discovery. It's a very highly litigated case. There are approximately 100 boxes of documents. There are several conferences because of all the counsel that is involved. There are discovery disputes on a continuing basis and depositions and motion practice and discovery. So discovery is not expected to be completed, by the way, until the middle of next year.
Yes, Mr. Williams.
Yes, could you tell us what the upper limits of the estimated upper limits of it's going to cost the county to spend this day?
I can't tell you, we honestly don't know because of all the different defendants. We are trying to keep the cost down, but we have already expended approximately $500,000 on the defense of the case, trying to get people out and trying to limit discovery. Because of outside counsel, or the conflict counsel, obviously the amount has increased. Until we get to summary judgment, I can't give you an estimate, unfortunately.
But could you then pursue with counsel to give us their best guess? Assuming, obviously, there is a litigation strategy that they have set out, and based on that strategy, if that strategy materializes, then there can be an estimate as to how it would play out.
So. I will absolutely come back to you with that amendment.
Thank you.
And that strategy.
All right.
Can you just, do we need counsel for the, I notice a number of familiar names here who are employees of West, or were employees of Westchester County. Do we have to hire counsel for all of them?
No. The only counsel that we needed to hire was for Dr. Rowe because of a conflict. Before that, Oxman Tulis was representing all of the county defendants.
I see.
So it's only, Bleakley Platt came on board. There was a big expense in the beginning because the case has been pending for a few years, so they had to totally come up to speed on the entire case so that they could commence adequate representation of Dr. Rowe, who at the moment appears to be the focus of the lawsuit.
The prior law firm,
Oxman Tulis, continues to represent the county and Dr. Hyland.
I see. Yes. So this was a separate.
Correct. And this came out, obviously, a few years after the case had been pending.
I see. Thank you.
Yes,
I didn't hear. You said that there was $150,000 additionally for this, and that while it hadn't exceeded, you thought it prudent to come and ask for more. But the amount of money more represents was not stated. What do you want to take this number to?
Right now, the board has approved, initially, when we retained Bleakley Platt, the board had approved $200,000. I would like to increase the amount by an additional $150,000 for a total of $350,000. Bleakley Platt has expended $150,000. So I want the amount to be increased to $350,000 so that we can continue to adequately represent Dr. Rowe, and I won't need to come back to the board before the end of the year.
Thank you.
To that point, yes.
One other question. Yes. Is anyone here have coverage, insurance coverage?
Some of the other defendants do have private insurance coverage, yes. County defendants.
Right. And how is that working out? Has there been any kind of agreement on the cost sharing?
No. I mean, as far as deposition costs go, yes. But on experts and other things like that, there hasn't been full agreement. Some of the defendants are arguing, obviously, that they shouldn't be in the case in the first place or that they shouldn't share the lion's share of the cost. So there has been some agreement, but not on all the costs. And there's a lot of disagreement in the case because there's so many attorneys in the case.
That never happens with attorneys.
We always try to get along.
All right. Motion and
so moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any more questions or concerns? Otherwise, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Item passes. And again, this is, I guess, a tough case for the county in general. So.
Well, he was incarcerated for almost 16 years, and unfortunately, for him, it's great. He was found actually innocent. Unfortunately, he was incarcerated for almost 16 years. So it's a tough case for all defendants. It's a tough case.
Thanks so much, Melissa. All right. We're going to move right on to Catholic people. Email message was sent that you should have your booklets that were placed in your boxes. And for that, we have Anne-Marie Berg and Company. All right, and Benny Kilson is actually here. And for the record, we did have a session on this item with Benny Kilson, and this is the presentation to the committee.
I'm Susan Barosi, co-partner in charge of the audit of Westchester County from O'Connor Davies, Munns and Dobbins. My partner, Nick DeSantis, was to be conferenced in. However, he had a death in the family. His brother-in-law passed away. He's on. So he had emailed me last night. He will not be able to be conferenced in. Okay? This is Rob Cordero. He's the manager in charge of the audit. And we are.
Yes.
So we are here with Anne Berg and Sergio to we're going to present the audit. The audit commenced in February of 2010. So we did some preliminary test work and then worked diligently. We were able to wrap up the audit toward the end of September. As you all are aware that the county received much stimulus money this year, and therefore the single audit process, which is the federal audit, was pretty lengthy because ARRA funds are considered, ARRA, which is the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, are considered high-risk funds to the federal government, categorized in that way, and therefore additional procedures had to be put in place in order to audit the county spending of that money. What we had done, the CAFRA, which I want to commend the county, I love the cover of this CAFRA this year, beautiful. I just want to point out, we had summarized our audit process in a PowerPoint in reference to the time. So if we all go to page 3 of the PowerPoint presentation, and I just want to point out that the CAFRA is a very lengthy document. It's prepared by management, inclusive of, there's a management discussion analysis within here, which is prepared by management as well, which summarizes the lengthy CAFRA. And we reviewed this management discussion analysis with the CAFRA to make sure that what is mentioned in there relates and is reasonable. However, the only page that O'Connor Davies, Munns and Dobbins owns is the independent auditor's report. I mentioned O'Connor Davies, Munns and Dobbins because our name is quite lengthy. You know, Bennett Kielsen is our government services division. However, we've decided to help people out. We're going to refer to the firm as O'Connor Davies, Munns and Dobbins. This is the independent auditor's report. It's the only piece of paper that the firm owns. And basically, what this report tells is the scope of the audit, which I explained to you what we have done, and also how we're going to do it. It's supposed to be in accordance with government auditing standards, generally accepted accounting principles, and however, at the end of the audit process itself, an unqualified opinion was issued, which is the best opinion any county can receive. Now, if we go to, let's go to page 7, okay? And then we're going to relate on page 7 is just a summary of what happened. This is the profit and loss statement basically of the county and what had happened during the year ended December 31st, 2009. And let us just go down to net change in fund balance, which is the fifth line down. Originally, every budget is balanced. Originally, the county had planned on utilizing $58.5 million of fund balance in order to balance its budget for the year ended 2009. Yes, go to the final budget. Yes, you know, the plan, there were some budget amendments throughout the year within lines and also to the net change in fund balance. What actually happened, the county was only needed to utilize $21.3 million. Therefore, at the end of 2009, there was a $37.3 million budgetary surplus. And how do you get that? That's the difference between the $58.6 and the $21 million. Okay. What happened? Well, just look at the actuals. The actual revenue came in at $1.6 million. Yes, there was a shortfall. And the shortfalls, in reference of time, the shortfalls were all explained on page 11. And basically, the shortfalls were due to a combination of sales tax shortfalls, positive variance of federal aid and state aid shortfall. Then the total expenditures came in at $1.7 million. There was a savings there of $73 million. Therefore, there was a deficiency of revenues over expenditures of $59.9 million. Other sources, financing sources and uses, well, as we know, I'm reviewing with you now is the general fund, which is the operational fund of the county. However, the county has many funds, which are all details in the CAFRA, and what happens is there needs to be transfers to those other funds for those other funds to operate, such as capital that you were discussing here at the meeting. Therefore, there was a decrease in fund balance of a net decrease during the year of $21.3 million. Add that to your beginning fund balance of $185.9 million to arrive at $164.5 million fund balance. Now, fund balance is the big discussion. You know, I know the county is in the midst of its budget process right now, and therefore we wanted to focus the outcome of this audit on fund balance, since I know soon the budget review will be taking place, and that's the whole emphasis, because if revenues don't come in as budgeted, if expenditures cannot be, there cannot be expenditure savings, where must the county go? The county either has to raise taxes or go to fund balance. So we're going to focus this discussion on fund balance. If you go to page 4, as I had said, at the end of the audit, the county arrived at its $164.5 million in fund balance. And if you go to page 4, there's a summary here of the general fund balance from 2004 through the end of 2009. And if you go all the way down the 2009 column, the county ended its year with $164.5 million of fund balance. Now, as we all know, that whole fund balance is not all free and clear. What happens? There are reserves and designations. And what are reserves for those who have reserves or legal reserves? And as part of the audit process, we look at the legal reserves that the county has established and make sure that those reserves are reasonable. And what does that mean? Well, first of all, do they meet the legal definition of those reserves, and are they something that the county can use? Because why would a county set up a reserve that cannot be used? So that's part of the audit process itself. At the end of 2009, there was $19.6 million of reserves, which that included the encumbrances at the end of the year, which are those purchase orders issued and outstanding, which are going to be rolled into the next year's budget, of $4.8 million. There's reserves for certain notes receivable, 9/11 and related fund charges, state receivables. Well, why would you have to reserve for state receivables? Well, there are state receivables that are on the balance sheet of the county, which, if not collected, then it's not free and clear. So therefore, a reserve has been set up, $10 million, which is the same reserve since 2004, just to hold a place saying that money is not all free and clear until collected. Okay. Then we have designations. And what are designations? Designations are, they are plans for use of the fund balance. What is the difference between a reserve and a designation? Well, legal reserves, it is more difficult to release a legal reserve, you have to use it for the purpose, than is a designation. Designations may be changed. And what, if you go down, as you can see, there is designations for Medicaid claims, for GASB 45, which is the other post-employment benefit obligation, which that is for the payment of health care premiums for the retirees, because as you know, employers right now and retirees, that there's a fund level statement on the fund level. Those are on a cash basis. However, this statement here is saying on the entity-wide basis, which is not the budgetary basis, these benefits are paid on the cash basis. So there's reserve for the future when New York State legally lets the county or any other municipality fund this liability, which the liability to date is, how much is that liability?
It's approximately $1.2 billion.
$1.2 billion of this liability. What is that? That's the actuarially determined value of what that liability is. The liability now is not on the balance sheet because it's not allowed to be on the balance sheet. And the county put aside this money to fund this in the future at $41 million. Then there was designations for vehicle replacement at $341,000 for investment in inventories, for the New York State Retirement Stabilization. The ERS rates, they are increasing, okay? They're going to be skyrocketing in the future, and therefore this is a designation to stabilize that in the future. Capital studies, $630,000. And then to balance the subsequent 2010 budget that we are in now, $66.8 million. And then an undesignated fund balance of $29
million. If you turn to page 6 of the handout, we've pulled together a projection of the availability of the fund balance for future years. The last number that Susan had mentioned was the $29.6 million, which was the undesignated amount as of the end of 2009. That $29.6 million is our starting point for this page. This begins with the availability for 2011. Going through the rest of the designations of fund balance, as Susan had mentioned, there was a designation for Medicaid claims of $4.4 million. We had our GASB 45, or OPEB, for $41 million. And we also have another large one for the New York State Retirement Stabilization, which all totals to approximately $77.9 million, which is available for the county to use for 2011 and future years.
Now, that's assuming that the 2010, that there's a break even, okay, that this right. Fund balance is not utilized, needs to be utilized to balance 2010.
Right. Okay. Due to the uncertainty of the outcome of the 2010 year, we haven't allowed for any positive or negative variance for 2010.
Now, realize we had just finished the 2009 audit, so therefore, and we did not commence the 2011 budgetary review process yet.
So that totals $77.9 million, which is available for use. The second part of the schedule is really the utilization or the use of the fund balance for 2011. You start with the $29.6 million. Then we are going to appropriate portions of the various designations. Designation for vehicle purchase of $341,000. Designation of capital studies of $250,000, which is in line with prior years. A designation for New York State retirement of $2 million. And designation of Medicaid claims of $4.4 million. That comes to a total of $36.5 million, leaving us with approximately $41.3 million. If the county was to continue the designation for OPEB, or GASB 45, you would reduce that 41.3 by the $41 million, leaving the county with approximately $380,000 for future years. When looking at the entire amount of the $36.59 million, that's the fourth line up, when you compare that, if just so for comparison purposes, that $36 million actually compares with, on page 4, fourth line up from the bottom, $66.8 million, which was a designation for subsequent year's expenditures. I bring that to your attention because without the utilization of the $41 million of OPEB, the county is an approximately $30 million hole when you go from 2009 to 2010.
What we're trying to portray here, just to be the results of what did the audit process mean? The audit process used an unqualified opinion. However, when you look at the fund balance going from 2004 to 2009, let's realize with the economy the way it is, in which every municipality is struggling with this economy, there is a dependence on using fund balance to increase for the future in order to balance the budget. Okay. So, and as Rob had pointed out, when you go back to page six is based on the fact that the county is still going to continue the designation of this OPEB of $41 million. Now, as I said, designations can be changed. So the county and its finance team, its budget department, they may change that designation. They may utilize that designation. And this is based on the fact that we have said that assuming 2010 broke even.
right. I want the total presentation uninterrupted before we entertain questions. Is this the highlights you wanted to present from this document?
Yes. There are some other required communications that are in the PowerPoint, and you can read through them at your leisure.
Okay. I have Mr. Jenkins for comments and Myers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, thank you. One of the concerns, I know that we're in October, the capital budget is already due, and it is, we're just getting the CAFRA from 2009. That makes it very difficult for both Commissioner Finance and Director Soule to be able to give any reasonable direction for, mm-hmm. for us or the administration on what ways we may decide to go. Mm-hmm. I know Legislative Myers, Legislative Alvarado and myself have put forth a resolution to make sure that we have this done and completed by, I believe, the end June.
Yes.
June 30th. I mean, from a recommendation perspective, is that too much time? And should we be even pushing it earlier in the year to help us?
In the original contract, it was proposed that we finish the audit process and by June 30th. And that is our desire, and I think that's finance.
Sure. Absolutely. There are certain reasons why the audit would take longer, most of which are out of our control. One reason this year, we were waiting for some component units to give us their financial statements. We also had budget transfers that had to be approved through the legislative process. The prior year, there was a lawsuit that kept the financials from being issued until later in
September.
Last year. So sometimes there's some situations that are beyond our control.
I mean, we're not laying blame on anyone.
No, I'm just giving you a fact. In other words, sometimes it's beyond our control. We cannot issue our financials if we don't have the component units' financial statements to put as part of our...
The component units meaning?
The college, the medical center, the airport, or not the airport.
IDA.
So we have to wait for that for those reports also to be finalized.
Okay, but from our resolution, we'll obviously talk through that more, but for us, we need all that information earlier because it helps all of us together.
Absolutely.
Right, and if there's a reason that something happens, it would be brought to the table and we'd adjust accordingly. But at least for our part, we'd be able to deal with that. Thank you. On page, if we go to page 7, on the slide on page seven, we have the final net change. I guess the net change in fund balance being $37 million. The variance with final budget in a positive way, which said that in our initial plan, in our budget, we intended to use $58,690,127 in fund balance. And we only needed to use $21,371,685. Why, out of that $37 million, that means we reduced the designated funds to account for some of those dollars. Why would the recommendation at first not be to put those back into those buckets for?
For designation,
as opposed to making it.
This is just an assumption. These are purely. Oh, okay.
In other words, we use $37 million. I mean, in your projection for, in the statement that Bob made, in the projected fund balance availability, you said we were starting $30 million in the hole, basically for 2010. Yet we used $37 million less than we expected in 2009 from a fund balance perspective. For me, at least through you, Mr. Chairman, that would sound like a flat line, right?
Right.
Right? So as opposed to being in a negative...
Well, you had a budgetary surplus, but an actual use of 21.3. So budgetarily, you went from the 58, the final budget you were going to utilize 58.6,
right.
Actually, you used 21.3, and then to arrive at a budgetary surplus of 37.
No, no, that, right? Which would be, if I remember my terms right, that would be to the good, right?
To the good. And then you arrive
at... That's not a GAAP term, right? But, you know, that would be to the good.
Right.
But the point I'm making is that...
At the end, yeah, and I understand what you mean. So at the end, you have arrived at the 164, right? 164. So if you go to page 4, what's left of how the fund balance, let's say, is divvied up, mm-hmm. is to come. You come up to the you have those reserves that can only be spent for those purposes, mm-hmm. and then we're showing the utilization of what was left. If you go to exactly what was left.
But I think the answer to your question is it is part of this number now, yeah. Chairman.
Okay.
Yeah, right? It is part of now the 164, you know, the total fund balance. It does become part of it.
Yes.
It's just distributed a little differently because it's distributed differently depending on the designations, but usually the bucket, as you refer to it, would be the undesignated where that would flop into.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Right. So that would flop into the
20. It became the 29.
So that becomes the 29.
Yes.
So okay. So I know I'm bad at math.
No, you're not.
So how did 37 change into 29?
Because originally the fund balance was 185 million. It's now 164 million because we used 21 million. I'm using round numbers. Of fund balance. We initially thought we were going to use 58 million, we only used 21. So the real change is on page 4. If you go to the 2008 number, follow me one second. Forget the 37 for an instant. Look at the 2008 number, the last number is 185.9. Mm-hmm. See the bottom down there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now look at 2009, the bottom number, 164. Mm-hmm. That's all you should be concerned with, the difference between those two numbers. Now go back to page 7, and you see that 21 million that we used?
No.
I have to kind of lean over your shoulder, I think.
Okay.
The 21 million is the difference between the 185 and the 164. That's the change that happened during the year.
Well, I'm not sure how that could be if the plan was for $58 million change of the net fund balance.
Correct.
And if we're looking on page 4 in the expenditure column, it looks like we budgeted at least for that for $66 million. Is that?
This one is 58. Right. And if we use the entire amount that was budgeted,
the
bottom number of 2009 would be
130 or 140 something. I'm just saying it's using different numbers in different ways.
Right.
I mean, exactly, and that's actually one of the good points that you made with people when you look at one number.
But what you really want to see is the change from 8 to 9, and the change was we used 21 million. Another way to say it is we planned on using 58, so we're to the good for 37, but still that means you use 21.
Right, you use 21 and that's the point.
I mean, we use fund balance because fund balance
is there to use.
Correct.
It's there to use. So in a conservative way.
Correct.
But not to balance the budget, you know, because we're not going to have any more to use. That's the problem, I think, what Susan was trying to say for the future.
If your decrease was less, you would be able to replenish the fund balance, the details of that fund balance to the positive.
Right.
Understood. And the question again is that.
And I think we're like, if you look at, let's just look at page 6 or page 4, see how your reserves are depleting. Okay.
Right, our savings account is depleted.
Right.
We're using our savings to make sure that we don't have to charge people more.
Taxes.
Right. Through taxes.
Right.
Right. And we did this with Commissioner Berg and Larry Soule a couple, I guess maybe last week, when we said In our budget planning in 2009, we used $66 million. In 2008, we used $51 million. And the year before that, we used $51 million. So, again, it's just hard from a from us that are trying to help look at the oversight of the budget. If we want to go to the bottom line and say, wait, our fund balance is in a place that it's back to like the 2004 level, well, that's fine, because guess what? The whole economy is in that position.
Exactly.
So that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's not perfect. It's not good. It's not where we want to be. We want to work on doing that. But it also says in your report that it looks like from a budgetary perspective that we expended
on page seven.
Right. That from our actual expenses that we spent a lot less than we thought we were.
$73 million. Right.
$73 million less than what we thought we were going to spend.
Exactly.
So that was good management and as there'll be good management this year.
Sure. Right, exactly.
Can I make one other point, just if you don't mind? Fund balance, which is a lot of uses for fund balance, but the paramount reason for fund balance is to protect against the unknown. And the designations that we have in the reserves are there for the unknown, not just to keep the taxes to zero. And I'm going to give you an example. I don't know if everybody has their CAFR, but if you don't, it's one line I'm going to go to, and it is the line on revenues. It's on page 98 if anybody has it with them. And
page 98.
Page 98 is the general fund comparison of revenues, and expenditures. And there's just one number I'm going to mention, and that should tell the tale. If you go down to the third revenue, it's actually the second revenue listed, which is called sales tax. And sales tax has been a pretty stable force, a growing force over many, many years. And in 2009, we were $63 million under budget, which actually is unheard of. And it was not bad budgeting. The budgeting here is very precise for what we know. But we did not know, and no one knew, what was going to happen to the sales tax. $63 million is a tremendous hit, even for the county. So the fund balance...
64.
It's a little hard to see.
Right. a lot of numbers.
So to me, the fund balance, I do have them, but be strong. That 64, even for a government our size, is a very, very big hit. So the fund balance was there to cushion that. So even with a big hit like that, we only used 21 of our planned 58. So I just wanted to bring that point.
And that's an excellent point. Again, because... When we talk through this with our professionals like you and Director Soule, is that we try not to get into the hyperbole of the outside world. We try to look at the numbers and the facts. And just given what you said, having a $64 million
hit—it's a big
hit—and being able to reduce expenses by at least from the report of $73 million, right? In 2009. That means that people were being conservative, and we maintain that through this, through you, Mr. Chairman, as the Chairman of Budget Appropriations in 2009, that, great work that was done from an estimate perspective, and everybody trying to be conservative.
Sure.
Right?
Yes.
Can we always do more?
No,
of course. Right?
Yeah.
But, the point of the matter is that sounds great, and thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah.
I have one last question, Mr. Chairman, before I yield. On the OPEB, item, the OPEB amount of dollars with the 41,
yeah.
The $41 million that is there, certainly that is a choice between the legislature at the end, but certainly the administration initially. If we are going to utilize any of the OPEB, it's a policy decision to determine whether or not we need to keep that level, that amount of money in there based on what everyone has or what we understand from all of our municipalities, whether they're states like New Jersey or Illinois that don't have any money, or they have their negative variance in their OPEB kind of money to pay for their pensions, versus, you know, us being in a reasonably good position, and according, I guess, to whatever information we got about the state pension system being the best run pension system in the country. So, you know, that may take some ability for us to say, well, maybe we take that money down, that fund down, if we need to cushion to make sure that we're not increasing taxes, which I believe, you know, there's some consideration for. So thank you for bringing that up. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, and again, one highlight on that is the mood of the rating agencies. If we were to access that, and we would have to gauge that level of risk, if you will. I have Ms. Myers, Mr. Burton, and Ms. Brooks.
Yes, thank you. Most of my questions were asked by the chairman, but I did have one thing written down. Actually two things. One, if you could just comment on how comfortable you feel. It just seems like a huge dip to go in the page 4 in the New York State Retirement Stabilization to only put $2 million when we'd been carrying the 20. I just wanted to question that.
Well, that's in the 2009.
Right. Yes.
That was in the 2010 budget. Okay. That was designated.
So that's where we, and that.
It was designated if you go to the 2010 right. budget, yeah. That's where it breaks out.
Where
whatever is left at the end of 2009, where it needs to be designated. And
okay.
it's in the page which summarizes where. So those are numbers that are taken from the budget document itself.
Actuals, okay. And the other thing was really with relation to what we're going to do for this coming year, is there any kind of plan to have to look at 2000 and through our departments, 2012, 2013? You know, are we looking long term? Given, and do we have any kind of modeling that can help us? Planning, looking at it from a much broader expanse than merely just, okay, what do we need to do for 2011? Are we mapping out where we see the county going in future years?
I believe the budget department has been, Mr. Sola's right here.
Yeah, I can answer that. I mean, we are preparing multi-year projections and, you know, obviously, so we're not proposing a budget in a vacuum. We want to know what the impact is going to be in the out years, and so we are doing that.
Will the Board of Legislators have that to look at when we receive the recommended budget for 2011?
Absolutely. It may not be in the budget, you know, bound budget document itself, but we will have a schedule that reflects that, yes.
Thank you. Just for the record, thank you very much.
Yeah, because there isn't a strategic plan that we will be following in 5, 10 years. Is that what we're talking about?
I don't know about 5 or 10 years.
But at least 3 years.
Two or three.
Yeah.
Thanks. Mr. Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The sales tax, the $64 million shortfall, was that the county share, or was that including the money that we distribute to the municipalities?
That's the gross.
That was the gross. Okay. And our share is usually... what, two-thirds of that?
About 79%.
79%, okay. So, and so that, obviously, proportionally, we came into that.
Correct.
And the second question I have is regarding the New York State Retirement Reserve. Are we looking to replenish that in our 11 budget? I mean, I realize this may be...
That's a budget.
...asking a decision that hasn't been formally made yet. But... in general, would we really want to roll along with only $2 million in that reserve?
That's really a budget. You know, I haven't seen, you know, the numbers on that yet. It's a very careful balance with all of these numbers, but that's something budget will have an answer to. Would better answer, I should say. Yeah.
We'd run $20 million since 2004 and took 18 out in this last year. It seems really tough, given what we've been told is going to happen to the retirement payments, to only run with $2 million. And I'd ask that the consideration be given to that question in resolving the budget. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Burton.
And Mr. Cole, you have any comment on that now?
Not yet.
In terms of the appropriate level of reserves,
right, I have a question. The retirement systems in comparison to prior years from 2004 now down to 2 million?
Yeah, I mean, I don't, to be honest with you, I mean, with the rates of increase we're seeing right now in the retirement contributions, I mean, I don't foresee being able to replenish that in the near future, to be honest. I mean, should we have more? Absolutely. But the rate of increases we're seeing right now,
8%.
You know, I've seen people take that back.
All right, I don't have anybody on the list. Anybody cares to comment or ask any questions regarding this presentation?
One more question.
Yes, Mr. Jenkins.
Thank you. Well, just one more question. In the CAFRA itself,
yes.
On page 117, there's the Westchester Medical Center item. What is the impact of the $3.3 million of expense, of expensing the $3.3 million on our bottom line?
You mean the balance from the MO?
Yeah.
We have a reserve against that. If you take it, where do you see that?
We did, and
yeah.
The expenses in that line.
Yeah.
In that line.
Okay, but the question is...
And that's all detailed on page 9 of the financial headlines.
Of your headlines.
Right. Oh, I see. This is directly from management. And
if we actually collect that money, I know we're having a meeting this week about that. So
we're
having a meeting, and we're bringing people named Rocco and that kind of thing to help us out at that meeting. Right?
Right? Do we need somebody named Rocco?
That's what I heard. Yeah, I know we sent a. I know you did send them a bill, and
yes, we did. We sent them a bill, and they've had several meetings.
And we're just trying to make sure to collect that. What's the impact when we, you know? What happens if we collect that money? Would that money then fall to fund balance and then be available for utilization? What would happen?
Yes, it would. Yes.
In what year?
All right.
All
right.
So now.
Mr. Ryan has the floor.
I would ask that the members of the Budget Committee receive, for example, see if I was just looking at this quickly. All right, let me go on page 9. During the 2008 fiscal year, certain payments totaling $2.5 million from the Westchester County Healthcare Corporation have been identified as remaining unpaid. We have not received that information. Is that correct as a committee?
An official reply, no.
Okay. I would ask that information be provided to the members of this committee. In fact, all of the backup for this amount that's in question, the $5.8 million, I would ask that these details be provided to the members of this committee.
And so that
we don't leave with the misconception. It sounds as though, once again this morning, that the committee in a unified voice is saying that this amount is owing. I'd like to put on the record that as one member of the committee and as chairman of the legislature during the years in question and as a member under the arrangement of the medical center for the existence of the financial improvement committee, I am not yet satisfied that this is a valid amount owing to Westchester County. So in any event, that's my position as an individual. However, I would ask that the backup information that is being used in these discussions between this government and the administration of the medical center be provided to this committee.
It was, yes.
All right. I have not had it. It's not your memory.
No. It was provided to this committee.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. If it was provided to this committee, I'm now putting on the record that either I did not receive it or it is misplaced, and I would like another copy of that information. All right. Because right now I'm sitting, and this week, I went through a meeting of the Joint Review Committee, and I have to tell you, as a member of both the Budget Committee and that panel, I did not have those numbers to work with. So that detail, because we sat around this table, we gave specific instructions to finance and to the administration to provide the medical center with that detail. That's very good. If that detail has been made available to these members as well, that's fine. I will need another copy from our staff, and if it's not at the level of detail that we were talking about well over a month ago, and that's the level of detail I'm going to consist.
Let me get confirmation. What do we have as a committee, Olivia? And
we have the memo that was sent to the medical center by Commissioner Burke.
And that
broke down the 3.3 and the $2 million.
And the reason why I said that I would like some admittance from the medical center that this is actually owed to us, and that's what I'm requesting. And I understand, Bob, you're part of this now negotiations, if you will, and you had a comment regarding the same issue, Bob, or some other issue.
No, we're waiting for, I believe,
There's a meeting this week. I think it's
Thursday,
with the chairman, the previous budget director, and my staff, and to get into the numbers, just to say, this is what we were left believing that you owed, and we want to end it. So we've given them the backup. I see Ann nodding over there, and we're going to come to an end.
Plus, just from an information standpoint, O'Connor Davies, when they would give their budget report to you at the end of every budget season, reconciled the MO in the back of their report. So yes. Every year that we've had the MO, the reconciliation has been done, year one, year two, year three, the excess, the anticipated revenues. So although some of that was estimates, obviously, we'll have actual and an estimate,
yep.
Two actuals and an estimate, it was, in fact, in their report every year.
Yeah. Right. We needed the detail, and that's what we're
going to
get.
We need the detail, and beyond just a memo that states that in this category you owe $3.3 million, and in this category you owe $2.5 million, that's not the kind of detail I'm talking about. A memo that simply breaks down a 5.8 so-called amount owing is not going to be satisfactory to me. The years in question, 6, 7, and 8, did have attached to the maintenance of efforts of $15 million a year on the part of the county under state legislation for a total of $45 million over 3 years. What I'm saying is that on this side of the coin, this administration, county executive, and to the extent that the Board of Legislators saw numbers and was made aware of how those numbers were constructed, a lot of that maintenance of effort was this administration assigning values to work or projects over there. Didn't come with any approval process on the part of the directors or the administration of that hospital. It was us assigning numbers to see if we could hit the required maintenance of effort number for each year. If a sidewalk was put in and someone said it's a $5 million job, then it was a $5 million job. You did not have the hospital or the financial improvement committee sitting there kind of wanting, exact specs as to how that $5 million, for example, was constructed. I'm not saying to this administration or to you, Anne-Marie, that this all occurred long before you arrived on the scene. What I'm saying is that I don't think these numbers are as set in concrete as some people in this building may believe that they are. And I still dispute our ability now to go back to the hospital in view of the nature of those numbers and how they were constructed to indicate to them at this point that these are specific and identifiable, definite amounts owed to this government. And incidentally, just as a footnote, in this building last week, the comment that it was carried by the hospital on their financial statement as an amount payable, that was not the case. And as you know, we took that up with them at the Joint Review Committee just the other day. So there's a lot of misinformation flying around here. But the point is, at least from me, this is what I'm going to need in order to make some judgment as a member of this legislature as to whether or not these are legitimate items. I do not believe they are valid amounts payable by the hospital to this government.
I understand, Mary, that you're going back to the department to get some historical perspective, documented historical perspective. Where have you been able to obtain any?
Yes, the DPW has been very forthcoming. They use the same calculations that they use for all the apportionments throughout the county. That was a question the medical center had on square footage and calculations. That has been worked out. I believe the medical center is satisfied with the square footage that is used, apportioned, for their heating was one of the concerns. They've received documentation on the electricity charges, on the water usage, on whatever utilities that takes the bulk of this
right.
amount of money.
Are you comfortable with the amount that we are billing for?
For the utilities and the like, there's really nothing to dispute. They are the numbers that were utilized or apportioned to them based on square footage. The other amounts that Mr. Ryan is referring to, I'm not aware of the exact items that he's referring to, but I'm sure there were projects which we will discuss on Thursday.
Yeah, there were a number of things.
Well, I'm sure.
And I honestly, I appreciate your effort coming in this late in the game now. I appreciate the effort of you, our staff, anyone who's trying to go back and reconstruct this. My only point is that in going back and looking at the history, we're going to be able to find numbers that have been assigned to different elements of achieving the maintenance of effort number. My point is within the and some of the things like electricity usage, sure, I mean it is what it is. But where numbers were backed into and values were determined at that time to plug in, to be a component part of achieving maintenance of effort for each year of the 3 years under the state legislation where we were supposed to do that. I think that in our history, we'll see a number. My point is that I don't know whether or not those numbers are as firm and as valid as they are being presented today as people think. And I also know that it's not the entire amount that's in question. It's just these amounts that aggregate I know there's two figures here. One I gather is associated with a loan balance. Mm. But there are pieces of it that I think are going to be very, very difficult to substantiate. And my point that this committee is presenting itself unanimously on the side of we've checked it out, we know the numbers are what they are, and this is the amount that's owing. What I'm saying is, as one member of this committee, I do not believe that all of this is these are all valid numbers, valid amounts owing. And I didn't even get into the question of the credit and the repayment date and amounts of interest that are owed when you have two different entities. One not being able to figure out apparently when they were paid for a loan, and the other's books suggesting that the payment was made on a certain date. And the whole argument about the accrual of interest during that period of time, if the money was paid, it should be reflected in our records. there shouldn't be an accrual of interest if an amount owing has been paid. On the other hand, if it was never paid, then it's understandable that interest would accrue. I think that's something that needs to be reconciled, because we have two major entities in this county, this government and that medical center, coming up on, you know, with two different fact patterns here as to what has occurred or what did occur.
And one point that I really wish on behalf of this committee that should be highlighted is the fact that we are not adversaries of the medical center. If anything, we have been the saviors of the medical center. So I don't want the perception to be out there that we're trying to penalize the hospital for any reason. But if there is funding that belongs to the county, it should be for us to utilize. And Mr. Burton asked the question, the availability of these funds for us to utilize them. How do you foresee that, Mr. Burton?
Well, if we receive them back, it would drop into fund balance.
Yeah, for utilization when? Availability?
Well, it depends on when it's paid. If it's paid now in 10, historically here, that would be used for 12.
That's a choice.
I said historically.
I mean, Mr. Chairman, that's right, because my understanding was it's a choice for us to do the following year, which is what we've been historically doing. Mm-hmm. But heck, it's not a historical year. We may do something different. But just in clarity, and thanks for Mr. Bryan for bringing that point up. But that we had to make sure that when I mentioned that this item was being carried on the medical center's books as well, that information was not accurate. However, it's been on our financial statements for the several years as a debt that's owed to the county. So we're working through straightening it out, and everybody's happy at this point in time that we're gonna get to the bottom of it, and it'll be off of the footnote section,
right?
To say that it's done and we're moving forward. But the expectation is that we've been carrying a debt of $5.8 million that's been due to the county, and if we are indeed owed that money, we should get it, and if not, then we should straighten out, which we're getting to the end of the game on. So thank you.
And I would direct Olivia to, if there's further discussion on this item, because some of us are confused about the amount or how is it going to materialize pending the meeting on Thursday. If there is any feedback to this committee, I would like it next Monday, if possible, so that we can at least be clear what the true expectation should be. You know, that way we're not going back and forth on this. Finally, when in our prior meeting, Susan,
yes,
we were talking about the anticipation of ARRA funds and some confusion in the bringing the numbers together for 2009 and 2010, what we're receiving, what we're not receiving. You mentioned this being high risk. Is that
high risk to every municipality? To every municipality, uh-huh. It's considered a separate report was issued for what's called the single audit, which is of those federal funds, and on that report it identifies how much is ARRA and how much is non-ARRA. So considered. Meaning the meaning high risk, these funds are high risk to every, even a not-for-profit that might receive some of the stimulus money. So it was a dish, since the county did receive and spend a material amount of ARRA, and that during the audit process, the next audit process, and I'm sure during the budgetary process, management and the budget department would probably be able to provide a schedule of what this future ARRA. What's received to date in the future ARRA?
The term high risk is a designation that the federal government assigns to it. The auditors didn't assign that as that we have some type of an issue. That's the designation that is utilized to show that this money could be at risk if it's not utilized correctly in the programming and reported properly. That's why it's called high risk. It's high risk of us losing.
But as far as the audit is concerned, Those numbers have been reconciliated, and you feel that the county has accounted for properly.
And a separate letter was issued, and of course, any entity has they have cost versus benefits regarding how strong the internal control should be, and any findings that we had were discussed with management, and management is addressing those findings, and it's in a separate letter that is issued.
Yes.
And just to point out,
the separate letter is where?
Separate letter management.
It's part of the. It's actually part of the A133 report, which is the reporting of the single audit, and the findings are attached to it. You should have received a copy of the A133 report. And towards the back, you'll find the findings and my responses.
And also, besides the A133 report, there was a separate management letter issued to management, which management produced a response.
Absolutely.
And we reviewed that response to make sure they were answering the question. They were answering the issue.
Thank you.
Okay. And just to point out, there were federal expenditures, which mean expenditures which are reimbursable by the federal government, of $456 million for the year ended December 31st, 2009, of which $86.5 million what pertains to stimulus money. Okay. So that's to show the on our money was $370 million. That's to show you how material the stimulus money that ran. And therefore, you know, along with the money came the responsibility for management to implement the controls on receiving and spending the money. So,
and that's the high risk designation.
That's that high risk designation. And just as a point, because of some of the findings, I am having a training session for the key departments that report the ARRA money, because we've had a lot of change in staff, and I just want to make sure everyone truly understands the importance. So I'm going to be holding a training session for the people, the directors of the programs, and also the actual people who do the reporting to my office, because my office can only report what's given to me. So I want to retrain them so that we can have a cleaner reconciliation.
Mr. Burton, to this point, I guess?
Actually, another point.
Okay, fine.
I'm looking at the IGT summaries on page 16 and 17. This appears to be a terrific lifeboat for us down through the years, for us and the medical center. Do we expect the IGT to continue at this pace?
We don't know the answer truly. We've received, I think Mr. Saul could, the amount that it's extended.
There's the timing of when, I guess the county is in notification of when an IGT is going to occur. I guess the board wants to go how
we don't usually, I mean, get too much advance notice.
Yeah, yeah. Right. We usually get about a day, don't we?
About a day, yeah. I think we just got the second one, right?
We did find out is that we're only going to receive it once a year.
It's going to be a cash flow issue.
It's going to be a cash flow issue. So it's usually given in March, April?
April, it says
April,
in the book.
And then the...
Yeah. It's going to be in October, right?
It's going to be in October.
It's going to be in October. And the amounts that, I mean, you know, you can be optimistic. However, I think the what's anticipated is that the IGT will be less, which is unfortunate because that money has been important. So I think the smart money, so to speak, will be on a reduced IGT. Payment to the medical center, or to benefit the medical center in the next year, and there's going to be a cash flow issue because they've been able to rely on the receipt of IGT basically in the spring and in the fall, April and October. They've been advised that March-April payment will not come through, and anything that they do get for 2011 will be in October.
Yeah, but have there been any notices of a potential IGT for this year?
But
you did ask that they come here, right?
The April.
We just did one. Actually, it's coming. It's tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Do we get the notice?
The notice is going to be mailed out, I was told, today, but I received a fax of it on Friday so that we could work with the medical center.
No, the notice to us from
You mean from the Department of Health?
No, from the Department of Finance.
No, because it's happening tomorrow.
Okay.
Is that what you mean?
Previously, the committee here requested that when the administration was notified of an IGT, that the board would be notified. So I'm asking if that notification was sent.
Can this count as a notification?
Well, can you tell us the number?
Yes, 42.6.
42.6 million dollars.
Yes.
Get the cash to front them.
Yep. Can we just get a copy of the facts?
Yes, there is a notification in.
I know we asked for that. So.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. I'm just remembering.
All right. Can we have that today?
Yes.
No, because when we were at the New York State Association of Counties, they highlighted IGTs and they couldn't answer this question, but you just answered it, because it's a desperate moment for all counties, and hopefully this is a breath of fresh air on behalf of the medical center, that is. Thanks so much. I will respect the written orders before the end of the day to our budget senior staff. Anything else on these reports, people? Otherwise, thank you so much as always. And if there are any questions, please.
Bob,
yeah, Bob, you have any other concerns? I'm sorry. Bob, you're gonna have to project.
Yes. So we were saved from trouble by the Yekman.
Yeah.
Will not happen again. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, well, we already know.
Bob, all right. Just to clarify, Bob, were you saying on the 64, the 64 was the variance?
64
was a lot. And so our piece of the gross loss was how much?
47,
thank you.
Yeah, so the 64 is not actually to the county. It's not the 47 because we have to share it with the municipality.
Right.
All right, thanks so much, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You have 2 minutes, Mr. Chairman. Minutes?
Yes, yes. A motion is in order for the minutes.
Moved.
Moved by Mr. Burton.
Second. Well, no, Pete.
Go ahead. Second by Mr. Harkin. Both set of minutes are approved. And remember, you may not see as much detail on these minutes as you used to, because whatever is recorded in the committee is going to be posted on the website. So you're on notice that whatever is said in committee remains in the record and is accessible to anybody that peruses our website.
Are we planning on dispensing with written minutes?
No. And the minutes by the by Chief of Staff Curtin has been speaking with the committee coordinators. They have they actually put them up within 24 hours of the meeting. In draft.
To the chairs.
On the web.
Before the chairs, yeah.
It's open meeting law.
Right? Yeah. And again, on notice, because we're always on the record, people, and we're always before the public, and as we should be.
Yes.
Okay, we have a final item, which is concerns of the resolution.
I hope to vote no one.
So,
Mr. Chairman?
I'm sorry, can I make an amendment to the minutes?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Please, sorry. I didn't realize we were approving them right then and there. I know prior to leaving on the 13th, I had indicated that I would vote no on the addendum, as did Gordon Burroughs, and if that can be reflected in the minutes, because we didn't sign the sheet.
Yeah, and I understand, but remember, one thing you have to remember is your vote, even though it can be stated on the minute, if you're not present.
Understood. I would, however, like it reflected in the minutes, if that's possible.
Yes. Yes, and I understood it was going to be reflected.
Which set of minutes?
No, from the last joint meeting with public works.
Right,
the 12th.
Tuesday, October 12th, 4 p.m.
Yes.
And I clearly recall both of you.
Yes, you might want to reflect Gordon as well.
All right. It'll be all right.
Thank you.
No, just for clarity.
Having
just
said that,
just on
the, yes to approve.
Okay. If you vote no, there is no signature on the document. Isn't that
because they want
the president?
Oh, I understand.
If they wanted on the record that they were opposed to whatever was going to be moved forward, Mr. Chairman.
I understand.
But their vote doesn't count at the table because they were not present.
Right.
Yeah. But they expressed their objection.
So it remains a 4-1 vote.
Yes.
I'm not going to change the outcome.
But the realization of two people who said they were, if they'd been present, they would have voted that.
Got it.
Seems reasonable to me.
Right.
Okay.
I had misunderstood it that it was a no vote. If you didn't sign, that is my error. I acknowledge. However, we can reflect it in the minutes.
Duly noted. All right. Now, on the last item, people, this is the resolution that we passed back on September 7th, where we are requesting, and Katie, if you can answer on this, because we haven't had anything forthcoming from the administration. Do you want to, Olivia, have we received anything?
No, that's why we wanted to stand something.
Okay, yeah. I guess this becomes the official request that you requested this resolution to me. So, Mr. Jenkins, you want to mention?
This one.
Okay, the question is,
it's in your packet.
The joint chairman sent a letter to the administration with the addendum or with the framework, right? I guess is the best way to think of consideration for the RFP. We just wanted to make sure that the administration acknowledged that they received it, right? And that's first.
We're talking about a request for the plus $50,000 performance measures.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Don't be off here. Okay. Yes. So we have not gotten any. We have not received any documentation from the administration on the resolution that was duly enacted by the board to get the reports from the not-for-profits by the end of the month in order to help us for our upcoming budget process. Not the fact that we had received them. We haven't received any. We asked for the last two available reports. So whatever those last two available reports were, we asked for those, and we have not received any for not-profits and contract agencies. And we know that the budget is coming up, and that's why we asked for it, and we haven't got that yet.
And
we need
do you have a copy of the resolution? Give
me
a second. You get us a respond on that as soon as possible.
I mean, we did this.
Do you know anything about this?
I read the resolution when it was passed, but regarding information, I can have our chief of staff speak, but we do not have this right now.
Right. Can you let her not to communicate with me or with Olivia?
Can I send something to the committee saying when the information will be available, since it was due on September 30th and it's now October 18th, when it will be available?
Yeah. Fair.
And why it's delayed.
And that should go to the clerk of the board, by the way.
Yes,
because this was approved at the board level, right?
Okay.
And I believe it was passed unanimously, not that the...
This is not a Democrat-Republican issue. Absolutely not.
Info.
So we'll send it to your committee, Mr. Chairman, and we'll also copy the clerk and your budget staff.
Yeah.
Correct.
Awesome. Sure. All right. Thanks so much. The sooner the better. We have some items to receive and file, people.
So moved.
Moved and seconded. Any concerns on the items listed as receive and file? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, any other business to come before the committee? Otherwise,
motion to close.
Motion to adjourn by Mr. Harkham, second by Mr. Burton. All in favor?
Aye.
Stand adjourned.
1:00, joint environment and ledge. We've got to get some on the blue sheet, so everyone be prompt, please.
All right. Thanks so much, everybody.
I got it.